Snack Bar Games Podcast.
Welcome to the Snack Bar Games Podcast. I'm Graham, and this time we're here with Matt, Jerry, Sean, and Andrew. And how you guys doing?
Video games.
I like video games. Those are pretty good. So.
I like games.
Yeah. Games are good.
We should do a show about them.
I know.
We all share a common interest.
This is crazy talk. I guess this week's theme, video games.
Oh, God, that's what I wanted to talk about.
Well, this is great.
That's what all right. It's
I'm looking at them on Craigslist right now, and people do not know what games should cost.
I think last week's Snack Bar Games podcast on Dan Brown novels wasn't as exciting for listeners, so hopefully we'll get back to it.
Yeah. But none of you guys heard that one.
Your mom can read. Isn't that what's important?
It is. And it's important to know every brand name of everything that he looks at any given point in time. That's good. All right. So, we'll start with the news. Sean, what's item number one?
Item number one is probably Gamefly offering digital PC and Mac game rentals.
Right. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah.
Game. I'll have a computer that can run them by then.
Okay.
Not useful for me at all.
Right. Well, I mean, it looks like they're offering basically what they've already been offering as, like, for sale now as, like, a digital service. It's unclear what's going on there. I do know that, Netflix has had a lot of success with their digital, but it feels a little different. This also isn't really competing with OnLive, because you still need the computer to run it.
Yeah, it's still a download. It's not a stream, right?
Yes.
I guess it's kind of the new GameTap. Need a new GameTap?
I think so.
Do we still have the old GameTap? Can someone tell me what their GameTap?
I think they still have commercials.
Yeah.
Okay.
I haven't seen GameTap at all.
I mean, I remember back in the day when they used to advertise how the first season of the Sam Max games were exclusive to GameTap for a while. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah. And they would always, like, it would be like when, like, you can imagine that the person that made those commercials calls every game a Nintendo. Because they would always have, like, whoever the biggest game... It was, like, Lara Croft in, like, 2006 or 7.
Right.
She was all over their commercials. Like,
well,
no
the thing is, that was basically the best property they had on that system. I mean, actually, I think they may have had some Genesis games in there, some of the PC ports.
Oh, yeah. They had a ton.
It Beyond Good and Evil. Remember them really selling that?
Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, they had some decent things, but it never really broke through the way it was supposed to, but maybe now framing it as sort of like a Netflix for games, they could work. Are any of you guys interested in actually picking up that membership, or is it just kind of, well, that's for other people?
Oh, considering I had an interview at GameStop today, no, I'm not interested. It's bad for the industry.
Right.
But I'm actually really interested.
No, but you know, they... Downloads are good, just not anywhere but Impulse. All right.
Don't you mean Origin?
No, Impulse is the Stardock service and GameStop.
I know.
Picked up these guys.
Really?
That happened a while ago. Alright.
I didn't know what it was called. And don't they have something with Contraband now? Or not Contraband.
Congregate.
Congregate, yeah.
Contraband
is one of those websites,
I knew about that one, at least.
I'm dumb. Contraband is one of those sites, like, E-Bombs World that you would go to in high school, and it would just have, like, links to stuff everybody already saw but you.
Okay. I thought you were like, you know they have that back room back in the GameStop. They're really,
the back room.
It's the new business model.
A lot of cool stuff goes on in that back room.
Hey, I found some really good not-yet-on-the-shelves stock back there sometimes. Yeah, you just gotta be friends with the guys there, and it works out.
Special edition Catherine. I'll pick it up.
I got the regular one. 60 from the back room.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
I mean, you got it from the back room, like it fell off a truck. You're saying like it's a hard thing to find.
Well, at launch it was, yes.
Oh, was it?
Well, I mean, you know, have you tried using that thing? You making sure that there's not contraband in there instead of a disk drive? Or?
I did not check for drugs, no.
Okay. It's probably too late at this point.
An X-Bong. That's what you can call it.
Okay.
Oh, man.
360.
Good to know.
You said we were going to talk about video games?
Oh, right, yes. Sean, something that isn't. More news. What we got?
Other news. Team Bondi is pretty much gone.
Right. Well, they, you know, they've been struggling ever since they released L.A. Noire, which people seem to really like. They got a lot of flack for their processes of development and basically working people to the bone. And they kind of imploded really quickly, going from basically like the industry darlings finally putting out their magnum opus to these guys don't exist anymore.
Pretty much.
Is it Rockstar's fault?
Do we know who
did they totally bone them?
Not really, considering they were developing L.A. Noire for years and years now, and it's pretty good reason as to why Sony, who was originally the one that was funding the project, eventually just backed out of it.
Yeah,
I get that. It's just kind of strange. Usually you'll see these, you know, we wrap up production, then go out of business kind of scenarios with long in development games like that. It's not usually that they release it and then they spend a couple another months existing and then go out of business. I mean, that's...
Especially a game that's top the charts the past 2 months. You
know, yeah, I mean,
the past 2 months.
I think at this point it's still in the running for Game of the Year. I'm not going to say it gets my vote.
Are they getting nothing from that?
Hmm?
Are they getting nothing from the sales of L.A. Noire?
Rockstar is getting money from it. I don't know if Team Bondi is, but Team Bondi's pretty much sold all their rights to, I believe, KMM, an Australian studio.
Yeah, and they do something like games. They do some games, but they're really kind of like an all-purpose multimedia studio. And from what I understand, you know, some of the people were given a chance to go work over there, but largely they just faded from existence.
Pretty much.
Of course, you know who really wins in this whole scenario is that company that owns the technology for the face capture.
Oh, yeah, those guys are going to make out big.
Oh, yeah.
It's just a win-win for them. You know, everyone knows about what they're doing. They're probably in a bunch of film projects at this point. And they're doing fine, but Team Bondi is no more.
Doesn't Rockstar own the rights to the L.A. Noire property now?
They do, and they're still developing the PC version, but Rockstar Leeds is working on that port. But yeah, so they could make another L.A. Noire if they want to. They could do whatever they want to with that. They own it.
Would they be able to get that technology again? I mean, that was kind of the huge selling point.
They well, I mean, that's the thing. The technology was this third party. So they could easily license it again.
Yeah, I mean, the main reason why L.A. Noire was such an expensive game to begin with is because they developed the technology for it. Since the technology is already done, well, they could just use it again.
Yeah.
That would really be good for New York Noir or Vegas Noir or something else like that in the future.
Maybe Chicago. I feel like Chicago is a good noir city.
Yeah, why not?
Maybe.
But, I don't know. It's possible that they could franchise it. I think the weird thing about this whole situation is usually a studio, you know, blows up when their game bombs, but this thing is, I mean, it's possibly one of the best-selling games of the year. It's just a little strange to see it basically go up in flames just on a PR issue.
Yes. That's very strange.
Well, Rockstar kind of backed away from whatever else they're working on next, so that maybe that had something to do with it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's possible. All I know is, you know, I feel bad for them, but this doesn't feel like other studio closures. Like, it doesn't feel like Bizarre Creations when we were just all kind of just mourning their loss as a company. Team Bondi made a really good game, but I could see other people making that really good game.
Yeah. I mean, their last game was the Getaway, and not many people really care for that one, so.
Yeah, they just took a bunch of elements from other games and put them together and then had a cool facial recognition thing on top of it.
Yeah, which, you know... that is the recipe for a lot of very good games, but, you know, you know, I don't, I, with the way they went down, it feels strange, but it doesn't necessarily feel wrong.
I mean, a lot of those guys still kind of have jobs now, maybe. So, I mean, it's not that terrible of a story.
That's true. I do hope they all get jobs other places. You know, they're obviously very qualified people, but maybe it's just the structure of the company that needed to go away, and these guys can go work other places.
Yeah, probably.
But, oh, yeah, okay, Sean, what else is going on?
I got nothing else.
Well, one thing we definitely should one thing we definitely should talk about is, well, it seems the last couple weeks since our last podcast, which was not actually on Dan Brown novels, we should do that sometime. But no, is the implosion of the portable game industry, or so it seems. If you haven't heard, and really, I don't understand what's going on with you. Nintendo announced that they were dropping the price of the 3DS down to $170 from $250 starting August 12th.
Was that after our last podcast?
It was.
It seems like so long ago.
It was immediately after. It was like the next day.
Oh.
But, yeah, and then they announced the ambassador program where anyone who connects to the eShop before August 12th gets 20 games, 10 NES games, and 10 Game Boy Advance games.
I should probably do that after this.
Yeah, and you know we have a thing up on the site where we talked about what we wanted to see in the games, but generally it seems like they're picking good ones.
Oh yeah.
What are you guys' thoughts on that?
They picked 10 that I don't have, so.
Yeah.
So I'm fine with that.
Well, I get the feeling that the 10 NES games are mostly going to be kind of just padding the number. I mean, there's the original Legend of Zelda there, and that's nice, and I think there's Metroid there.
Uh-huh. I'm sure most people who are, you know, bought a 3DS at launch probably already have a lot of these games, though, wouldn't you think?
That's true, but it is nice, you know, with them, you know, discontinuing the Lite and kind of moving away from the Game Boy Advance as something playable you can take around with you. Having the GBA games is a nice thing, especially one of them's Yoshi's Island, and I appreciate that I don't have to carry around, like, a Lite or something to continue to play that game. But, you know, it's hard to say whether this will really work for them.
In terms of just, price, this is a pretty drastic price drop, but I mean,
it's about 30%.
When do companies do things like this for anyone who bought things at launch and then price drop happens shortly afterwards? This is probably the first time that I can remember that this has happened. I mean, it's a much shorter time period between the launch and the price drop, but still, I'm just it's just good that Nintendo's doing something.
Right.
The only thing I think of is the PS3, and that wasn't nearly as drastic. Of course, quick.
Oh, yeah.
But I love, you know, oh, we're entitled to something because we paid for this at launch. There has never been a time in, I mean, you know, home consoles have dropped so much. Portables drop usually slower, but it's just because they're at a lower price point to begin with. But there's basically no, you know, reward for being an early adopter. When you choose to get a system at launch, you know you're going to pay more than people eventually will. And you know that it's going to be a little weaker than later. I mean, the outrage is a little ridiculous. Whether I like the 20 games, that's still a matter I can discuss. But the people who feel like it's not enough for them, they got the system they paid for at the price they knew they were paying for it. So
yeah, and it's not like the crappy library was a secret. We all know what games are coming out months before they do.
Yeah.
Except for Mega Man Legend.
Grumble, grumble, grumble. But yeah, I mean, you know, if the games that you wanted to justify owning the system weren't coming out yet, then it's not our fault that you bought it then.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little silly to think about, like, well, the launch wasn't enough. Well, then you wait until there's enough, and then you don't complain because you didn't buy it at a higher price than it eventually is when there's enough games for you. Anyway, I could rant on that for a while, but
I completely agree with you though, Graham. It's when you buy, it's kind of a risk when you buy anything at launch.
Yeah, but then you also get the reward. There's this inherent value in, hey, I have this thing and I'm getting to play it immediately, you know. I mean, and you pay a premium for that.
And even if there are no games out at launch, it's kind of a future investment. You know,
right.
you don't have to worry about buying the system later, and then when those games come out that you actually really do want, then you know, you already have the system. You don't have to worry about that. Even if it drops price in a couple of months after you buy it.
Right.
Yeah, well, I can't agree with that. But the main thing, I can understand why people are a little bitter though, considering the massive price drop on the handheld is pretty unprecedented by Nintendo standards.
Yeah, well, I mean, I just see it as a win-win. If you bought your system at $250 at launch, sure, you're not going to pay this lower price, but because the price drops, it becomes a more attractive system for developers to release things on, so you get more out of your system you already paid for as a result of it being a more viable system. You know,
unless you're Capcom.
Okay.
It's the last one, I swear.
It's not. But before we move on, we're going to talk about the Vita too, because there's been some news on that. But before we move on, there's the whole plan with the ambassador program is you have to sign into the eShop before, you know, 11:59 p.m. on the 11th to make sure that people who pay the higher price get the games and people who pay the lower price don't. But here's the thing. Walmart is selling them at this $169 early. We're recording this on Tuesday night. Yeah, I know you guys hear it on Wednesday. But today, they dropped the price. So you can go over right now, get your $170 3DS, and get your Ambassador Program games.
Which is a pretty great deal.
It's a ridiculous deal, and I'm sure people are going to take advantage of it. I know it's not what Nintendo intended, but I would have to imagine it would spur a lot of sales very quickly.
Oh, yeah.
I can't imagine Nintendo complaining about it.
Well, I mean, it's going to be a little bit of a customer service nightmare for them. It's like, oh, well, it's unfair that these people also paid $170 and got the games. But, you know, people need to deal with it, I guess.
Yeah, it's not Nintendo's fault. They should blame Walmart.
Yeah, that's true.
That they're going to blame anyone.
And, you know, just for anyone who's going to run out in the next couple of days and pick up a 3DS, whether you wait for the actual price drop date or you're trying to get in under the line, Target has Ghost Recon Shadow Wars for $17 right now.
Buy it.
You should have bought it already. I don't care that you didn't own the system. You should already own it, but if you don't own it and you're just getting it this week, go get Shadow Wars
now. Cool.
If I did buy the system, that'd be the one game I got, probably.
It's a great game.
Aren't they the ones who were also selling the Catherine Special Edition for, like, $10 cheaper than it was?
I don't think Target stocks Atlas games.
Because Atlas tweeted some store that did it. I forget who.
Yeah, I can't remember what it is, but I don't think they carry that.
I don't have a Target near me. Or
did you guys see that Exceed tweeted that article I wrote? Speaking of companies tweeting things.
Yeah, well, I mean, you did pretty much just gush about them for a few hundred words.
My favorite publisher. I didn't think they'd see it, though. I didn't tweet it at them. I just did. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, well, I kind of did.
Okay.
But it's weird because I guess they finally just saw it now. I mean, it went up last Thursday.
Yeah.
And, they just, but, you know.
They follow me. I talk to them. Pretty cool.
All right.
Okay, so I'm done derailing.
Next week on the Matt Jay Show. But yeah, alright. So we've talked about the 3DS and where it is. The Vita, we heard over the past week or so that it's not going to hit the U.S. or Europe by the end of the year. Now, Sony's saying that, you know, their original statement was that it will be available, you know, beginning in the end of 2011, which means that it's not done becoming available by the end of 2011, which I think is really word parsing.
That's some weird launch window bullcrap.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah,
Well, I mean, Sean was there when I was talking to the guys. We definitely heard from a lot of their PR people that they were aiming for October or so.
Oh, yeah. A number of them said, yeah, well, this game will be ready in October when it launches.
Yeah.
See, this...
And so obviously they were planning October.
Like, in one respect, I'm really, really sad because I cannot freaking wait for the Vita to come out. I want it to be this year, and I want it to hit for Christmas, and I want people to buy it. But also, I mean, if it comes out in Japan first, then we have to wait a little while. That was the best thing that happened to the Dreamcast. And maybe... I'm serious. The Dreamcast had an abysmal launch in Japan. It did not sell well. It had horrible launch titles. And it came out almost a year later in America and had an amazing launch. And had a huge launch because they pushed the $9,999 thing. And they had a great freaking launch lineup in Japan. They had...
Yeah, I agree.
Game.
No, absolutely, and that's the reason why Sega is the largest hardware manufacturer today.
I look up to them. I don't know why you guys need to make fun of me.
No, look, I don't have anything against Sega. I'm just saying it's not the best example of what to do to launch a system. Dreamcast did really well.
I'm saying as an artistic, I'm not talking about monies, because I don't understand numbers, but... I mean, they might learn some things from it. I mean, Sony has not had a very good launch in a long time. And maybe they're just playing it safe, you know?
No, that's true. And, you know, just to clarify, you know, I think Dreamcast is a creatively amazing system, but it's just hard to point to it as, look at this, how this business decision turned out well for them.
Oh, it was more because of previous business decisions.
They didn't bungle it like the Saturn. All right, yeah, Andrew?
I was going to say, if the Vita did come out in early 2012, I mean, do they really see that as a good time to release any kind of hardware?
That's when Nintendo released the 3DS.
Yeah, that's when Nintendo released the 3DS, and I mean, that was an
and
exact
that's
thing.
A great example, too.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know. Wouldn't a Christmas launch be best for them?
Well, here's the thing. I really think that at least with portables, it makes a lot of sense to not launch it in the holiday. I mean, they're going to lose a lot of money by not selling it this holiday for fiscal this year. But what happens with that is that you get the launch sales, and then you get time to produce more content and more things to then sell some stuff on holiday. Instead of just, you know, only, you know, basically for the holiday, people have a certain amount of money to spend, and they're going to spend it. But if they launch it out of the window, then they can grab some launch money, then have them spend the money on games. It worked out really well for the Game Boy Advance, and the DS launched near Thanksgiving, and that didn't work out so well. I mean, it was a bad launch lineup there, but it's interesting how that works out. I think a summer launch is really better, but I think also that they're going to try to launch it before the end of fiscal 2011. So probably you'll see a launch before the end of March, just like the 3DS. They just need the money, and they need it to be on the balance sheet this year.
I just want it. I don't care about all this stuff. I just want it in my hands. I want to play it.
I wonder if the reason that they decided to delay it because of the massive drop of the 3DS. I think they were expecting to go in at even price points this holiday season. And they were planning on the even price point making up for maybe not such a good launch lineup at all.
Right.
And now they decided to delay it until there's an actual good launch lineup. Maybe they delayed it for Uncharted to be a launch lineup.
You know, to be fair, they were saying Uncharted was going to try to be in the launch window, I believe.
The guy that too wasn't very confident that it would happen, though.
Yeah, well, he's the developer.
He's
on the ground. He hadn't yet been pushed with the "we need to get this out now" publisher mandate. But that's true. Definitely they should launch. I mean, that said, they would have probably been able to launch with like a version of Little Big Planet and Modnation Racers and Little Deviants and Sound Shapes. It would have been a solid lineup even in October, but we're certainly going to see more next year.
But are any of those games that people would buy a Vita for instead of a 3DS at an $80 difference in price?
That's hard to say. I mean, Little Big Planet's nice. I mean, I personally am buying the thing for Sound Shapes, which is the most ridiculous thing I think I've ever said.
Buying it for all of them. I don't think it can have a bad launch. Like, I think every game I've seen on it so far, I've wanted to at least play, if not own.
I think this kind of comes down to the question is, I think Uncharted is probably going to be their biggest game at launch, from what I've seen.
Oh, definitely.
So, is that really, I mean, It's definitely a series that sold well, but is it really a system seller?
The game I played is definitely a system seller.
I think after Uncharted 3, it definitely will be. Like, Uncharted 2 was almost at that super high level.
That's another good point. Maybe they want to get Uncharted 3 out first. You know, get the Uncharted name, you know, circling around people's minds, and then of course, bam, Vita launch with new Uncharted game. Not only like three to four months after Uncharted 3 comes out, people get more Uncharted, everyone's happy.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess they may also just not want to release it in such a dead time in the year. You know, release it with all the other big games in March 2012.
Yeah, because that March is already as packed as the holiday season is.
So many games are getting delayed this year. There was a recurring joke about it last year, about everything getting delayed to Q1, but
yeah,
more this time, I think, than before. I think that, you know, Q1 2012 was going to be huge.
Yeah, the dead months are changing from January to August to
August.
June. Yeah, August. Is there anything worth anything coming out this week?
Well, here's what's coming out this week. Fruit Ninja Connect.
Oh, boy.
Apparently some demos, which I guess that's something. And then also the Steam port of the iOS cube-based platformer Edge, which actually we're looking at right now, and we'll have a review in a few days. But that's literally all that's coming out right now.
Yeah, well, you know, it probably won't, like, it's usually, these things usually don't kick off until Madden comes out, which is the very end of the month. But right before that, I think, is Deus Ex.
Deus Ex, yeah.
It's probably going to be the big August launch. And then, not going to be a big launch, but an interesting title nonetheless, next week is El Shaddai, so.
Right.
Still got some good games coming out.
So it's releasing next week.
Yep. Also, Bastion on Steam.
Yeah, Bastion on Steam. Yes, that's it.
But yeah, El Shaddai is releasing next week on July 26th.
Oh my god, really?
Yes. Well, they asked me to save the date, so I saved it. On July 26th, I put that away. I went ahead and used one of the dates I had lying around, so I kept July 26th for whenever the game comes out. So, it'll be July 26th. That'll be fun. Now, anyway, but yeah, there is, you know, a major argument here about portables. Do you guys think that they're on the downswing, that, you know, the era of the portable game system is coming to a close?
I don't think that's possible. Well, I mean, I think that Nintendo's reign might be close to an end, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but, did I just get dropped out of the call?
No, you're good.
Okay. But, I mean, because from what I've seen so far, like, I've read reports that the 3DS is really difficult to develop for and is expensive to develop for, but apparently the Vita is incredibly cheap and easy to develop for. Have you guys read that?
Yeah.
That would be a surprise to me.
I read a specific thing that said, yeah, this thing's going to be super easy to make for, and we're all excited about it. And that made me excited because... What?
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, is it the 3D that makes the big difference in the 3DS games?
It could be, because, I mean...
It's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah, and it's also, we've seen the problems that Capcom has allegedly had. Where, no, thing, because they said the whole Resident Evil...
keeping a tally over here.
The Resident Evil save file thing was because of the 3DS's hardware, and that it was difficult to work with.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, there's stuff like that, but, like, and then the problem... And, like, the thing, because this thing, I was upset because we wouldn't have the PSP anymore, which was, you know, it was easier for people to put games on in Japan, at least not in America, because they couldn't afford it. But, so we would get all these crazy little weird titles that would come out, and I thought that would end with the Vita, but apparently no, like, we're going to still get weird, crazy little titles, which I think is what portables are for, like that and RPGs.
Yeah, and I think Sony does get that. We've heard a lot of reports lately of Sony just kind of randomly giving out free development kits to indie studios that seem to make projects that they wanted on there. Like, actually, we just reviewed on the site the iOS version of Great Little War Game, which is kind of like a hex-based Advance Wars type thing. Those guys got sent a Vita development kit for free, so they're putting the game on Vita.
That's awesome.
Great.
It's a really simple thing to do. Just, like, send them a development kit, you get a game.
I love portable gaming. And I, like just hearing people talk about, and you know, every time a portable console comes out, everyone's like, people have this conversation of, is portable gaming dying? But then a year or two into the console's life, everyone's like, oh, portable gaming is one of the best, is becoming as almost as good as console gaming. You know, people said that with the GBA when GBA was a portable Super Nintendo, and then they said it with the DS when that and the PSP when that was for portable PS1s, and now with the stuff we're seeing on the Vita, it's friggin', you know, nuts. And at a site I worked for when the Vita was first announced, I posited that maybe the Vita is like basically the PlayStation 3.5. Like, what if the next jump in console gaming, and we're and then this is before they released the Wii U stuff. What if the next jump in console gaming is just, I need to leave my house now, this game I'm playing on my 50-inch TV, I'm going to put on my portable and just leave and play the exact same game, and that games are no longer tethered to a specific place, like we're seeing with the iPhone, we're seeing it with the Wii U. Matt, consoles are just going to be things that you plug into your TV if you want to.
Matt, are you talking about transferring?
Oh, no. I've totally ignored that word. I still don't really know what that means.
No, but honestly, I think, I hate to say it, but I mean, there hasn't, aside from the 3DS launch, which wasn't the greatest handheld launch ever, we haven't really had a handheld launch since the iPhone and iOS game became such a prevalent force in gaming. I think, I don't know, I mean, I'm not going to say dedicated gaming handhelds are dead. They're definitely not, but I don't think the Vita's going to have an amazing launch, maybe in terms of lineup and things we're excited about, but the average consumer, I don't think they're going to be that excited about another gaming handheld when I could just pop up, you know, open their iPhone and play two $1 games. It sucks, but I just think that's kind of how the way things are.
Wasn't that this week's Penny Arcade strip?
Yeah, that was a Penny Arcade strip, too, and I thought that was great.
It's like, I'm going to open my phone and play $61 games and see who has more fun.
Yeah.
Probably the guy with the $60 game, honestly.
Yeah?
Probably, but, you know, the people that are paying the most money towards these games are the casual audience, and they're the ones that are kind of they're the driving force in the past few years for video games in general. You know, as much as you admit it. So,
well, I just have to say, you know, before we finish this conversation, my nightmare is that the portable game scene turns into an industry completely dominated by games that appeal to people who will put $60 down in in-app purchases for virtual gold.
Oh, yeah.
I think my soul would die if that happens. The thing is, we're getting there.
The good news is Nintendo does not have a shop set up to do that. They cannot.
The good news is Nintendo doesn't know how to use the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that is in some ways true. I really wish they could just, you know, get a little better community involvement over there. But, you know,
what's wrong with them?
Their game development, I don't want their game development to touch current, like, modern trends. I don't want them to do it. I don't care about online multiplayer in Nintendo games. They don't do that very well, so I don't want them to care about it at all.
Yeah, but I care about it in third-party games that are on Nintendo platforms.
Sure. But, you know, their Wii U strategy seems to be interesting, that they're just not going to have any sort of framework at all. It's just like, if you want to do online or something, I guess maybe you can do that. Yeah, whatever.
I don't give a shit. You're going
to Well, that's kind of what the PS3 started out as.
When the PS2 had online games, that was how that worked. And it's also how it works on PC now. So, I mean, it can be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't see a problem with it.
I don't see a problem with it. I don't want Nintendo touching it, honestly. So that's perfectly fine with me.
Stay away.
Our new online policy. We don't have an online policy.
Excellent. Best decision Nintendo has made regarding online.
I do want them to care a little bit if they insist on selling more virtual console stuff, for instance, because I am a little tired of the stuff I buy from Nintendo being console-based as opposed to having just one general account.
Oh, yes. Friend codes are dumb.
The only better decision...
No arguments.
...is to partner with Steam. So it'll be you...
Even Sony beat him, do it.
Also, Nintendo wouldn't do that.
No, they wouldn't. But that's
not
the
Nintendo we know. It's just they don't know how to use the internet. I feel like that's the great way to put it. It's just
they don't.
Yeah.
So if they not touch it at all, if between the two choices that they are likely to make.
Yeah. All right, well, that's it's going to be a rough little bit of time for the portable industry, regardless. So I hope we get out, you know, get through the other side with some good games. But let's move on to what we've been playing. And Andrew, I think we can start with you, because you have been knee deep in Catherine.
Oh.
so wrong.
I didn't mean no it like comments. That. I really didn't.
No comment, but I have been playing the video game Catherine. I don't even know what to say after that. It's great, but I all of the reviews that have kind of complained about some of the issues in terms of the storytelling and your choices and how they don't really affect the overall story until the end, I completely agree. I like the story. I like the characters. I'm intrigued by everything that happened, but it's not a game you want to replay because even if you make different choices, the entire game up until the very end is going to play out pretty much exactly the same. And it's really disappointing that they didn't really make your choices that have that much of an impact on a lot of the main story points that happen. Because I could see some things happening in that story that could go completely different, but there's no way it'll happen. It'll just play out the same every time. But aside from that, the puzzle gameplay is addictive, and it really, I don't know, it never really feels too difficult, unless you don't like puzzle games, in which case then you probably will have a hard time with this game. But it's fun, and it's an interesting combination that I never thought to see in a video game, but I guess that's kind of what video games are for, these weird combinations of things that you never thought you'd see. So, I don't know. Yeah, I like it. Anyone else play it?
Not yet.
No. I want to.
I want to, too. I'm poor. Oh, I was looking at the game covers today. In Japan, was it the same? Like, wasn't Catherine with a K on the PS3 and Catherine with a C on the Xbox?
Other way around.
Wait.
Yeah. It was the other way. It's the other way around.
Right,
it's
right.
The same way for both US and Japan.
Okay. Because I was upset because I wanted Catherine with a K on my case. I like her. I think the colors are better with the PS3. Whatever.
Just get the 360. You not own a 360. No. You don't have a 360, dude.
I don't have a 360.
We should get one.
Yeah.
Maybe Microsoft could send me one so I could review their games. Hey, guys.
Maybe good luck with that.
GameStop job.
But, before I move on to see what the rest of you have been playing, I would just like to issue an official apology for that. Just like to come back after the commercial break, have Willie Geist stare at me.
We'll be right back.
Alright. Sean, what have you been playing?
I have been replaying the Phoenix Wright games on my DS.
Okay.
They are awesome. I can't wait for the next one to come out.
Yeah, it may be a while.
AKA never.
Oh. They'll keep making them. It's not Capcom.
Matt has to.
They'll keep making them, they just won't come to America.
Yeah, okay.
I will learn Japanese for them.
I don't have the patience for that, as much as I love that series.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, well. Jerry, what have you been playing?
Kingdom Hearts Recoded and Chantelise.
Right, yeah, you've been reviewing Chantelise for us. What are your thoughts on that?
It's like a love letter to what every 2D game on a 3D plane should be.
Okay. So it itself is not what every 2D game on a 3D plane should be, but it's attracted to such games?
Sure.
Okay. I've seen a little bit of it, but basically what is it that you're doing in that game? It's a lot different from Carpe Folger's last project, Resteteer.
Yeah, because Resteteer is a shop simulator. This game is just full-blown action dungeoneering stuff. It's like you have obviously your shop you have your shop element in the sense that you resell stuff to get money, but other than that, it's not a shop sim. And you have your overarching plot and your chapters that you have to go through, and typical adventure game stuff.
Does it have randomly generated dungeons and things like that? Is that...
No.
No, it's a very set, curated type of game. It's no random Chunsoft shenanigans stuff.
No.
Good. You know, I understand that it gives you more gameplay when things get procedurally generated, but it doesn't mean it gets you better gameplay.
Yeah.
It's a good thing to actually have game designers design your game, but, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, what's the strong point? If you were going to say, like, these types of people should get this game.
The strong point would be that the controls are rather simple. Like, you can pick up and play the game in like in just a few minutes. But as you go through the game, the controls remain simple, but they give you more variety as to what kind of character you want to use. Like, and they limit the amount of equipment you can use for that reason. Like, you can use, say, attack and defense increasing equipment to make your character tank-like. To put your character in a tank build, but at the same time, when you go into a dungeon, there are enemies that will also use magic attacks on you and will pretty much cripple you in no time at all if you're not careful.
So all right.
I do like it in the sense that it doesn't just hold your hand all the way through, and you have to cover your own bases depending on the type of playstyle you're going for. And it's not like you can do anything and everything, and you'll come out okay. Yeah, you have to know what you're doing.
So it's a pretty tough game from what I've heard. Is that true?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, the main draw is that you can go into a dungeon, get your ass kicked, and you won't lose any progress you've done. Like you can either individually go back into a specific stage, or you keep all the loot and the stuff that you found, so you can just go back, erase your stats, and keep hacking away at it.
All right. Well, that sounds good, and I'm looking forward to reading your review. I'm sure our readers are also going to enjoy that. So, Matt, what have you been playing?
It's actually funny that you've been playing Phoenix Wright games, because I've been playing Harvey Birdman on the PS2. I am on the second case that my friend lent it to me, and he said that it gets really good after the third case. So far, it's like a not very good Phoenix Wright and a not very good episode of Harvey Birdman. But together, it makes it, like, playable. Like, I'm a person who, I mean, a lot of people must find point-and-click adventures boring. I never do. Like, I can play the most boring point-and-click adventure as long as it's got some kind of flavor. I enjoy it because it's my favorite kind of game, which is weird. But it's pretty good so far. I mean, like, there's not much case-solving. Other than the actual, like, it's really Phoenix Wright. It's just Phoenix Wright with a Harvey Birdman coat, but it's not even a good Harvey Birdman coat because it's, like, terrible flash animation. The voice acting's really good. It's got everyone except for Stephen Colbert, but his character, Phil Kenseven, is still in it, and they will sometimes comically cover his voice up. Like, he talks over an intercom through most of the game, and it really garbles his voice, and they'll say, like, one thing and then stop talking. But it's so obviously not Stephen Colbert. But, I mean, I haven't played enough of it to recommend it or not, but it's like, you can get a new copy of it for like $11.
Yeah,
but don't do that, because don't give Capcom money.
You can get a copy at GameStop new for the Wii for $5.
It's on the Wii?
It's on the Wii.
I didn't know that. I knew it was on the PS2 and the PSP. And apparently the PSP one is the same exact version as the PS2. So I would actually recommend getting the PSP version, based on not having played it and just knowing that.
Unless you don't have a PSP.
No, still the PSP version. That's the good one for you.
Well, then you get a PSP, because they're dirt cheap and a good investment. Don't listen to the haters. There's a lot of good games on there.
It's true.
And then I'm also playing...
That would work, but Andrew hates handhelds.
I don't hate handhelds.
He does.
I don't like it.
Okay, hey Andrew, what are your 10 favorite handheld games of all time?
My 10 favorite handheld... You're
and
now
the all four
Deluxe
games.
Andrew, name 10 handheld games ever.
Name 10 handheld games that I like. Okay,
Only five of them can be Pokemon games.
I wouldn't actually name a single Pokemon game, thank you very much.
I like Pokemon.
I don't. But I don't know. Astro Boy the Omega Factor for the GBA. Amazing game. My favorite GBA game.
Treasure game. That.
The Professor Layton games. I like all the Zelda handheld games, even the ones that aren't very good, like Minish Cap and Phantom Hourglass.
There aren't any bad ones. Whoever thinks they're bad is dumb. They're the same people that think one is bad.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think any of us said they were bad. I just think in the context of rating them against other Zelda games, maybe they're just a little, you know, they don't have quite that sheen.
Talking about you guys, I'm just speaking in general, like Phantom Hourglass and Minish Cap in particular, they get a lot of hate.
That's true.
People dislike Link's Awakening.
Minish Cap.
No!
My favorite. Well, what? Wait, what?
Sean has thrown the gauntlet down.
He doesn't like Link's Awakening?
Did he say Twilight Princess is better than Ocarina? Because I agree with him.
Say what?
Yeah,
that what he said. Which of the same controversial statements about Zelda everyone makes did he say? Did he say Ocarina is not as good as people say it is? Because that is absolutely true.
I liked Twilight Princess better than Ocarina of Time, and did not like Link's Awakening.
Wait, what was that last one?
I don't think Matt's able to hear it.
Yeah, no, once Matt actually hears what you say, he's going to be just as furious as I am, I think.
Yeah, it's okay. I don't like Link's Awakening that much either.
Oh, I don't like Link's Awakening. I love Link's Awakening, but not everyone. You do have to Link's Awakening, though.
I think Link's Awakening is the weakest of all the handheld Zelda games. Yeah.
I could see that, but I disagree. But anyway.
Derailing the topic. Let's go.
I'm also playing two other games. I'm playing... for the first time in the longest time, I'm playing through Power Stone on the PSP, and it's the first time I've ever played through it. Like, I'm sitting down with characters and trying to make it through all their campaigns. I've made it through two campaigns so far.
Wait, there's campaigns in Power Stone?
I think that's the general consensus. I really loved that game on the Dreamcast, but it felt more like a party game, and I tried it on the PSP, but it's just like, this is not a PSP experience. This is a get buddies on the couch experience.
Yeah, the problem with playing on the PSP is that having the Power Stones as a game mechanic instantly gives you one strategy to win. Like, you have to get to the Power Stones. You have to be the first one to get there. And getting them, like, every single match I do it the exact same way. And it gets kind of boring, but the flavor of the game and the characters and seeing their endings, and the endings are so whimsical. And, like, because when you get the Power Stones, you get one wish. And, like, I finished with Rouge first. Her wish was just to make anybody happy that she can make. And so she has the power to make whoever she wants happy. Like, she didn't want world domination. She didn't want to live forever. She's made everyone happy. And then I finished it with Gunrock, and his was just, he wanted free beer forever. So he wanted to never have to pay for beer again. And I finished the game, and I feel good about it. I didn't make someone, you know, the best fighter in the world, or make someone destroy the planet. I just made someone happy.
It's a feel-good game. Way.
And then it's like, and playing the first game in this collection is cool, because they put all the extra features from the second game into the first game, except for four players and two bigger stages. But I'm actually trying to, like, finish one before I move on to two. Because I've actually never played Power Stone 2.
Really?
Yeah, because it's, you know, I never owned it on the Dreamcast, and now it's, like, $60 minimum to get that game.
That's true.
And that's, like, a disc-only copy that's all scratched up.
Yeah.
But I don't need to tell our listeners that Power Stone is an amazing freaking game, and that Capcom needs to put it on the PSN and put it online and the XBLA.
Yeah, you don't need to say that.
And the last game I'm playing, actually, is a game that I played about 18 hours of a year ago and then put down and just picked up again the other day, and I'm a couple more hours into it.
Okay.
Final Fantasy VII. I'm dipping my head into that.
Never heard of it.
Exactly. I had never played it before a year ago.
Yeah.
Really?
I don't think that game's very good.
5 years. Like, I don't like that one. This copy that I bought brand new at a Sam Goody like 5 years ago, and like opened once and played like 3 hours of, and then didn't play for about 5 years, and then played it a year ago, and also got the PSP version off the PSN, and that's how I'm mainly playing it right now, actually.
That should be your next column.
What, jumping into Final Fantasy?
Yeah, Final Fantasy VII. I mean, you know, it's good in your series of obscure things no one's heard of. You gotta let people know about Final Fantasy VII.
Now we'll talk about the cult series Final Fantasy.
You guys, there's this girl named Aeris in it, and I got really attached to the character, and you would not believe what happens to her. I'm not gonna spoil it.
Please don't.
Good, don't spoil anything for me.
I'm not gonna spoil it, but you will be heartbroken.
You know what, the more I talk about this, the more I think I actually love to read that column.
I actually haven't even made it that far into the game. I haven't finished the first disc yet.
Yep.
So I've not seen Aris get stabbed in the back.
Oh, no.
Spoilers.
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 That's about all I've been playing.
Spoilers.
Except for random handheld games that are on my desk that I pick up once in a while when I go to the bathroom.
You do a pop color?
Yeah, I've been playing versus Capcom. I've been playing as SNK characters, PD of Capcom characters.
Aw, catharsis.
I tried to play Sonic 2 without nostalgia goggles, and that game's not very good. I don't know why everyone thinks the Sonic Advance games past the first one are these great games. I'm actually not a fan of the way Dimps handle Sonic. I know that's weird.
Yeah, that makes two of us.
Yeah, I don't think any of the Sonic Advance games are good, and I don't think any of the Sonic Rush games are good, so.
Yeah, and like even I didn't like Sonic Colors in the DS, because the way Dimps handle Sonic is like speed above everything else, and I don't think it's how Sonic should be handled. I like when there's a good deal of platforming involved, and the speed is like the reward for good platforming. Like, I like when I get to the highest point, and it lets me run down and get really fast. I don't like
You don't like speed boosts everywhere?
No, and it's terrible. And like playing Sonic Advance 2 is that all the levels, there's one design for every level, but it's built for every character. So if you take a certain way, that's like the easiest way to go. Oh, it turns out that's Tails' way to go, and if you can't fly, you end up dying and losing all of your lives before realizing, because you end up going the same way, going, there's got to be a way around this, and you find out there's no way around it. You just have to go a different way, and you have to hit a speed boost at the exact right moments, and then when it's not, you know, fake difficulty where it just kills you to pretend that it's hard, it's just holding right to win.
Yeah.
Well, aside from that, it's actually a gorgeous game. Like, the game is absolutely beautiful for a GBA game, and that's why I've been playing it, just because it's so pretty.
Does anybody even know how Sonic is supposed to be handled anymore? It kind of seems like everyone has a different opinion on it these days.
Well, as I understand, what they really need to do is put in more human-animal relationships and make sure the voice acting is as incomprehensible and childlike as possible.
I mean, I can't totally judge Sonic Generations, but that demo is the shit. And I really love it. I feel weird because I say this about a lot of games. Like, apparently the second half of a game is the hardest thing to do. But the first half of Sonic Colors is amazing. Like, I was blown away by most of my play experience in that first half. And I thought the second half, like, because when you started out, the first, you know, six or levels or whatever, it's like, oh, they know we've been saying for the last 10 years, and they finally learned their lesson. Then you get to the second half, you're like, they've learned nothing. This is all the same bullcrap. But up until then, it's an absolutely beautiful game, and it's actually, like, really artistic, and it's also fun, and it's, and it's not just speed, there's a lot of platforming and stuff.
So for me, who's never played Sonic Colors, I should just play the first half, stop, and then never play it again?
Yes, it's just like, it's just like Enslaved.
You can market beat too.
You went there, didn't you?
What? Are you going to see that Enslaved is good all the way through? Because you're wrong.
I think Enslaved is good all the way through.
Except for that ending.
Man, once they get to her, like, hometown, just be like, okay, everything's good. Just pretend that her hometown wasn't destroyed.
I think the second half is better.
One of us is wrong.
So I think there's only one way to settle all these arguments. We need to beat each other silly.
Okay.
We just need to get together, mix martial arts, just let's go.
I'll just be joining me at my house during Labor Day weekend then.
Okay. Sure, let's do it.
I'm not paying for any of you to get here though, you gotta do it yourself.
Okay. Well, I think
Matt's in the best position to do that though.
I was gonna say Jerry might have some problems.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
Or we could just play Street Fighter.
What?
I think we need to play Street Fighter
2.
3.
Mario Kart.
4?
Yeah, Mario Kart. Double Dash.
We need to play it on the NES.
No.
Mario Kart on the NES?
Street Fighter.
Street Fighter on the NES? Are you talking about Street Fighter 2099?
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
Is that even a multiplayer game?
I did not know that one even existed.
Oh, you're better for it.
Some people like that game.
I don't understand.
Who?
Someone from 1UP liked it.
They really loved Urban Champion, but just wanted a little more depth.
Are you sure they weren't just trying to create, arguments?
I guess, I don't know.
Maybe.
But that's just a crap beat-em-up that they slapped the name Street Fighter onto. before even Super Rider 2 came out. It was in between Super Rider 1 and 2.
Yeah. Anyway.
Video games.
Capcom. All right.
Speaking of Capcom, all of the Mega Mans are on sale on PSN this week.
All the
what do you mean on sale? Do you mean, did you have the PS1 import one? Are they on sale?
Mega Man 1 through 3 and 9 and 10.
Oh, sweet. I might actually buy them. Okay. And what is this Mega Man Duel? What is it called?
The Duel Pack. It really seems like they're just re-releasing two of the PSP games. The Duel Pack series is they've just been packaging older PSP games, like two for $15. They did it with Daxter and Secret Agent Clank and things like that. So it's probably what Powered Up and what was the other?
And the X, whatever the X game was.
Right.
Why don't they just release Powered Up alone? That's all I want, damn it, Capcom.
It's a game you could buy it for a while.
Well, sure, but I want to buy it on PSN, so it's there.
Because
finding it locally is a pain in the ass. Yeah, Maverick Hunter X is on PSN, but Powered Up. Isn't.
Maverick Hunter, yeah.
Yeah, but this seems like, because it seems to me that they were just like, oh shit, we need to put something out that's called Mega Man as quick as we can. What do we have that's already made and we can easily translate? Okay, good, let's push that out. But it's also kind of them making an effort. It's also them being like, no, Mega Man's not dead. Don't worry, just shoot on this for a while and then we'll do
just
something.
Buy these games you already bought from us.
Well, what they should have done is released Legends 1 and 2 as PS1 Classics.
PS1 Classics or the PSP one that they had.
That would take actual work.
Yeah.
I mean, the main problem with Legends 1 and 2 on the classic service is that they'd have to get reobtain the voice acting permissions and stuff from the older voice actors, and that might be a problem considering specifically one of them is a convicted child molester. So
wow.
specifically Teasel's voice actor. So.
Okay.
that's like Mr. Rooney from Ferris Bueller.
The character's Rooney.
I don't know who he is.
Yeah, okay, so now that you guys will never play Mega Man Legends the same again. Alright. Well, I think that does it for this episode of the podcast. One more apology from me. But for Matt, Jerry, Sean, and Andrew, I'm Graham. See you next time.
Listening to the Snack Bar Games podcast, find us on the web at snackbar-games.com.